Yes, grab a cup, grab a seat, and welcome on in to Coffee and Cornbread. Before we get to Auburn, it's time for Would You Rather Wednesday. That's right. Today's question is, would you rather have a remote that pauses real life or a remote that rewinds the last 30 seconds? Think about it. Pause. It gives you unlimited naps, lets you beat every deadline, gives you all the time in the world, but rewind? It's an instant do-over for every awkward conversation, every typo, every time you dropped your phone, every I wish I hadn't said that moment, every field goal missed, every incompletion. I'm curious where you land. Drop your answers in the comments and tell me why. So, yeah, welcome on in to the show. Now, let's catch you up on everything you missed around the barn. Nick Garamati's hiring has Auburn's baseball fans fired up. There's no doubt about that. But Brad and Zach on Village Vice, their first reaction wasn't that Auburn landed a good coach. It was that Butch Thompson may have pulled off one of the biggest assistant coach hires in college baseball over the last decade.
They've got somebody. They're not just doing this and then starting a search. Yeah. That doesn't make sense. That doesn't make sense for Butch or for Gabe. It's like, so who is it? Who do they have?
Yeah.
This exceeds my expectations were decently high. I don't know of a better option than, I mean, Butch Thompson went into Athens in the middle of the night and stole their secret sauce. Like everything that Georgia did was like, yeah, they're pitching solid, but they're hitting, their offense is just unreal.
Yeah.
It's unreal.
Yeah.
And before it was announced, you told me like, yo, we got Georgia's pitching coach, our hitting coach. I'm like, no, we didn't. Why would they let him leave?
Hey,
what a heist by Butch.
And lest you think that Georgia's success is all Wes Johnson, the head coach. Nick Amorati is the name of the coach. Nick Amorati, Coach Ammo. This dude is a rising star in the coaching ranks. Before he was at Georgia, he was at Kentucky. Kentucky won the SEC. Kentucky baseball. Right. Won the SEC with him as their hitting coach. Then he went to Georgia, and they won the SEC with Coach Ammo as his hitting coach. So
I think the reaction from this show, and you got to check out the full show to really get what I'm talking about here, says everything about this hire, how it's viewed nationally. Auburn didn't just hire an assistant coach. They hired a hitting coach from the most explosive offense in the SEC last season. They did it after he helped them win championships at both Kentucky and Georgia. Kentucky baseball winning SEC championships. That's not something you pull off accidentally. And a lot of that goes to him. It also speaks where Auburn baseball is today. Elite coaches, they want to be on elite rosters. And as much as you want to be down on this team for not getting to Omaha the past two seasons, they are right there. And this could be exactly what they need for some of those big time players, you know, the Bub Terrells, the Chase Freelichs of the world that just need that little extra boost. And maybe that's exactly what they need, a little change of scenery in the coaching staff. If Auburn was already expected to be one of the nation's top teams entering 2027, well, this hire only reinforces the expectations. Shifting over to football, recruiting rankings always spark debate. We'll talk more about baseball in just a second, but this recruiting rankings never fails, right? Especially when players move up and down the way that they've played back and forth without even playing a single snap. We're getting recruiting rankings moving now in July? Yes, we are. On the most recent Top Button podcast, Charlie 5 pulled back the curtain on how those rankings actually change on why one Auburn commit is climbing so quickly.
I know people always ask, how do rankings like change so much when they're not even playing football? Well, there's a lot of different ways. The different camps you go to, whether it be a recruiting camp, like these recruiting services hold camps, 7-on-7 is another one. And then sometimes they go to the different collegiate camps and feedback will get to back to the particular recruiting services. A really good example was, I think Bryce Diaz last year came to Auburn's camp and lit it up. Was it last year or 2 years ago? Regardless, when Bryce Diaz came before he signed, he lit it up at Auburn's particular camp, like their Auburn elite camp, like on the university campus. and they kind of got with some of the recruiting analysts, and he, you know, not necessarily Auburn, like Auburn didn't get in touch with him, but maybe some people that were there that were connected to some of the recruiting services were like, hey, this guy is really, really good. And he got an immediate bump right there. And then like it, just regular media hype. So for Marquise Evans, I truly believe it was his Florida official visit that really started the ball rolling. I think that's what got 247 in the game, because he weighed in so much bigger than the initial rankings had him. Because I think the initial rankings, some sites had him at like 225, 235, like just essentially like a tall, skinny guy. Like that's kind of how I think a lot of folks viewed him, a tall, skinny guy with some upside. And then he shows up to Florida on campus at 266. And I think now he's listed on the sites at 6'4", 6'4 and a half, 270 pounds, which gives him so much versatility across the defensive line and makes him invaluable to any college coach that could add him to their defensive line class.
You know, initially, I always thought it was confusing at first as well, but you know, this is a great reminder that recruiting rankings aren't static. They're constantly evolving. Analysts gather more information, whether it's from camp performances, verified measurements, feedback from other college coaches. It's not a perfect science. We all know that. And yes, there is politics involved. You can go into this. This could be an entire podcast just on that. We won't do that, though. But MJ Evans is a perfect example. Once evaluators realized he wasn't just a long athletic prospect, but somebody who just weighed in at 270, you can tell yourself that, okay, now it's time to start separating him from the boys to the men. So I'm all about that for sure. I like that you're seeing those jump up in the right direction. But there are some moments when you do scratch your head. I'm not going to lie. There's no doubt about that. Let's take a step back to Auburn baseball real fast one more time, because they didn't waste any time replacing Gabe Gross. They didn't. And it was such an exciting hire that after Village Vice, Brad Law shared his instant reaction on the Amirati signing on a members-only 10-minute reaction. Here's a little clip on what he was discussing.
You know, the track record for Coach Ammo, for Nick Amirati, is there. And it's really exciting to see Auburn be in this position where they needed a new hitting coach, and they went out and got a guy who is among the very best. He's young, he's energetic, he's up and coming. And youth doesn't always mean success, but Coach Ammo has had that success, regardless of his age or his experience. He's had it in this conference specifically over the last 5 years at two other stops. I said on Village Vice that it reminds me a little bit of a Tony Vitello who is charismatic and energetic and relates well to the players and makes a couple of stops in the SEC before going on to become a head coach in the SEC. Won't surprise me at all, especially if Auburn has the kind of success that Amirati has been able to infuse in his last couple of stops in the league, if he himself becomes a head coach in the SEC within the next, say, 3 to 5 years.
This should really excite Auburn fans. It's definitely exciting me. I mean, I think this is a home run hire. Yeah, you like that? Home run hire for baseball. He's already helped develop elite offenses, coach future draft picks, been part of championship-level programs. Auburn just needs that next step. Could he be that guy that we look back to and say, that's where it all changed? That's where it went from super regionals to Omaha. I hope so. I really do hope so. All right, let's flip-flop again. I guess it's a would-you-rather football, would-you-rather baseball. Well, we're back to football. The biggest question surrounding Auburn this offseason isn't whether the talent is there. It's whether Byron Brown can bring the same production he's had at South Florida to the SEC. On the latest landing on the plains, Chandler Wooten didn't mince his words about where he stands.
I just don't foresee us taking a step backwards than, you know, what we've been putting on the field, you know, the last couple of years. And I think the offense will be, you know, 10 times better than it has been. And I'll tell you why. Like, first and foremost, obviously better quarterback play. We have been in quarterback hell for the last couple of years for obvious reasons. And like, we just brought in a guy who, Like, I like the outside noise to me doesn't matter. Like, when it comes to this guy, like, I've seen the games, I've seen the film, like, I've watched the games, and like, the dude can freaking play. He can ball, and he's built like a freaking tank. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, and he's coming into a familiar system. Like, this is a guy who has been in this system for years and has shown that he will excel in this system. So why do people not think that same production will be replicated at Auburn? This play caller, this head coach that we have, has had major success at every single stop he's had as a play caller. This offense, it works. It puts up points. It does. It puts up major points, major production everywhere he's been.
Man, it's fun looking at it from his perspective. There's no doubt about that. And when he speaks, I mean, I do think he speaks from a lot of Auburn fans too. The skepticism around Byron Brown seems to really ignore one really important fact, that he's not learning a new offense. He is not learning a new offense. He's stepping into the exact system where he's already had success with the same head coach and many of the same offensive concepts. Will there be some differences? Sure, absolutely. Probably more to the advanced level, but there is no reason to believe that Byron Brown can't handle that. Now, the SEC is a difficult challenge. It's a different challenge, and nobody's pretending otherwise. But Alex Golish's offense has produced everywhere he's been, and Byron Brown has already proved he knows how to operate at a high level. If that combination translates the way Auburn believes it will, this offseason and this offense has a chance to look dramatically different than what fans have watched over the past few seasons. And man, we need it. We absolutely need something different. We got some news about SEC Media Days. Alex Golish has decided who is going to follow him, Byron Brown being one, as well as two other potentially surprising picks. On this week's Barnes Social Hour, Hunter and Graham sit down and talk about the culture this coaching staff is trying to build.
You have two dynamics. You have Byron Brown and Alex Golish on one side that are the new guys in the SEC, coach and quarterback. Then you have two guys that have been in the SEC for a minute now, who are coming off of recovering from injuries and diseases. That brings a whole different dynamic, I think, that can play really good in our favor. Because not only can you ask questions about football, you can ask questions like personal questions. And I know that's probably like a no-duh thing. You can ask anyone personal questions if you know. But asking, you know, McPherson is going to be more open to that. He's very nice. The media will love Alex McPherson. Champ Anthony will be more than happy to answer questions about, you know, what it's been like recovering from, you know, season-ending injuries. That's just, it adds a whole different dynamic. You know what I mean? And it puts Auburn in a positive light in a way that I think people do not realize. But kind of what's your thoughts on that?
We kind of talked about this beforehand. I think that this is important in the fact that both Alex McPherson and Champ Anthony have been at Auburn for a while. Obviously, this is Golish's first year. He brought his own guys in, all that stuff. But, you know, we thought Xavier Atkins was going to be a no-brainer to bring to SEC Media Days. But with that being said, he's only been here for one season. Like, this will be his second season in an Auburn uniform. Champ Anthony and Alex McPherson have been here through it all, through thick and thin, through the ups and downs, mostly downs. They've seen Auburn suffer and be at a all-time low, you know what I mean? And so I think that is telling that Golish wants to bring guys that truly love Auburn, know a lot about Auburn, know this fan base, know this family, know what it means to be an Auburn Tiger.
I like the way they went through this. SEC Media Days isn't just about answering football questions. It's about introducing your program to the rest of the conference. And you're right. If you would have went with a whole bunch of South Florida replacements, that would have been the narrative. Instead, you bring some longtime Auburn leaders to the fold. You bring McPherson, you bring Champ Anthony, who maybe some people outside of Auburn know, but not the way they should. And I think they are great players and great people to be able to spread the positive, the leadership, the message about not just Auburn football under Alex Golish, but what Auburn football means as a whole, because they've been there for quite some time. They embody Auburn football. So I am actually really excited to see Brown and Champ Anthony and Alex McPherson at Media Days next week. Also, we will have multiple people down there at SEC Media Days. I know Dap, I know Zach's going to be down there. So, of course, going to be some really fun coverage for sure on that one. Does Alabama and Georgia really get the benefit of the doubt when it comes on the recruiting trail? Do you think so? I mean, it's hard to say right now because where Alabama's sitting in the rankings, or is it just some sort of conspiracy that Auburn fans have convinced themselves this is real? Yeah, I'm peeling back a layer on this morning's coffee and cornbread because on this week's Afternoon Delight, one of our members only podcasts, Charlie Five and Ben Taylor had one of those interesting recruiting debates we've had in quite a while.
Let's take Georgia for a sec, for example.
Yeah.
Okay. Would you rather have a kid? Okay. Let's say you got two recruits.
Would you rather scenario? I love the would you rathers.
Yeah. So you got recruit A and recruit B. Okay. Mm-hmm. Recruit A, his other top school is Virginia Tech.
Okay.
Auburn, Virginia Tech. Same position. Okay. Recruit B, same position. His other top school is Georgia. Which recruit do you want?
You're going to go with B.
Yeah, you're going to go with B. So do you think that that is a conspiracy? Or do you think that Kirby's just done a really good job at nailing evaluations and then developing them into really good players?
Okay, so I'm not going to give Kirby all the love there because I think that this even took place during Rick. I think it's a Georgia thing just as much as it is a Kirby thing and them evaluating players. So, as opposed to Virginia Tech, yeah, I think Kirby's – yeah. Kirby and the University of Georgia is definitely evaluating talent probably better and developing talent better than player A that was had a top school of Virginia Tech than what Virginia Tech's doing.
So with that being said, now you could argue this is lazy from the rival standpoint, 247, that if Kirby offers somebody – that's going to alter the way we view them. That's lazy. But is it conspiratorial level? Is it conspiracy level? That's where I struggle. That's where the line that I live on.
So what do you think? I mean, Georgia has absolutely earned credibility by identifying talent, developing players, putting them in the NFL. I mean, having somebody like Kirby Smart be there for such a long time doesn't hurt. As well, you could make the argument that if they were in the same situation, if Auburn was in that same situation, that culture and identity would be even better than what is in Athens. Success naturally gives recruiting services more confidence in their evaluations. There's no doubt about that. But that's also why the challenge for Auburn is so clear. Alex Golish doesn't just have to win football games, and he hasn't had the chance to do that, for the record. He has to build that same reputation before he gets the opportunities to do so when it comes to the recruiting trail. Once coaches consistently prove that he can identify and develop NFL talent, which we've seen it at a small degree, but not at an SEC level, larger degree, of course, then the benefit of that will start to follow him for sure. Well, that's why these next few recruiting classes matter so much. And if Alabama wants to stay down at the bottom in the load more section, I'm okay with that too. Exciting stuff coming up on the barn today. Make sure you check out the channel. If you haven't already, hit like or subscribe. If you're listening in the audio, if you're watching on YouTube, thank you so much. Share this with a friend, whether it's Coffee or Cornbread or one of the other shows across the network. Do that as a challenge today. Not a question of the day, but a challenge today. If you're listening in the middle of the week, see if you can get one new member to come check out the barn. And they don't have to become a member. They just have to hit that subscribe button. Have them come check out the 24/7 feed. Send the link to somebody that you think has never seen the barn yet, and share and grow this community. Thanks for pulling up a chair. We'll do it again tomorrow. War Eagle.